Welcome to Lanyap, a news feature of KEDM Public Radio with information on issues and events. I'm Bob Lennox. My guest today, Dr. John Sutherland with the Political Science Department at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. Dr. Sutherland, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We continue a look at the proposed constitutional amendments coming up on Tuesday's ballot. Amendment number 6, and requiring a two-thirds vote of the elected members of each house of the legislature to enact any benefit provision for members of Louisiana public retirement system.
Yeah, this is Representative Pearson's bill from 09 and followed it up in regular session 2010. The idea here is we have a complex retirement system here where we have state retirement systems, then statewide retirement systems, and there are various ones, everything for schools, state employees, state police, down to clerks of court, district attorneys. The idea is that this would require a way to make any changes to the system, non-financial changes with a simple majority, but still requiring a two-thirds majority, as they say, with any actuarial cost. The concern that many people have is two-thirds majority is often very difficult to get for any type of legislation. Would this, in fact, bottleneck the process? And so this is one that people really, you have to look at how this would directly affect you and your retirement system, because we have a lot of people in the state in various retirement systems, how this would affect yourself. But this is one that a lot of people are watching very closely because it's unclear exactly how a legislative body should be able to impact a retirement system this complex.
Taking a look at Amendment number 7, it's an interesting item.
The Public Affairs Research Council of Louisiana said that this was, as they said, a, quote, clear example of extreme obscurity and complexity. I think you almost have to be a constitutional attorney to sort of figure out this. Really what they're doing is adding about 38 words, taking out 3 words from the Constitution on this. The ultimate thing, though, to get to, if you vote for it, this would change the bidding rules for tax sales and allow tax collections for non-payment. There could be additional upfront charges for that, processing charges. Against it, though, would say we'd just keep the constitutional process the same, and there would be a list of delinquent amounts that could be recovered. The trouble with this whole thing is, does this, in fact, do what we want it to do? I mean, the amendment supposedly would authorize collectors to charge additional penalties for unpaid property taxes. Is that possible under due process? It's hard to say. Would it require additional charges be included at the auction price? So the person that is going to purchase, say, a property or chattel, would that person have to subsidize the lack of payment on the front end? There also is some new things in terms of the bidding process. And so this one is very tough.
As we take a look at Amendment number 8, property expropriated for the public purpose of removing a threat to public health or safety caused by the existing use or disuse of the property. Property can go back to the original owner, allowing for that if it becomes a threat to public health. So really, it's kind of going back, putting something back on the owner. Is it something that folks will possibly favor, or?
This is the same person who came up with Amendment number 7, Representative Leger, is the same one who came up with Amendment number 8 as well. And so in many ways, you have to think of 7 and 8 as tied to the hip. I think they are what we would say supplemental amendments. But clearly here, if you wanted to remove the requirement of public authorities to expropriate property for resale after it had been out there for 30 years, this is something that you would be in favor for. But again, if you want to continue to grant the right of first refusal, and that's the key, the property owner would still have the right of first refusal, meaning they could still enter into it. You'd want to keep the law exactly the way it is now. So again, when you read 7, read 7 and 8 together.
Amendment number 9, in civil matters only, when a court of appeal is to modify or reverse an administrative agency determination in a workers' compensation claim or one judge dissents. They're talking about going to a 5-judge panel rather than the 3 which currently exist. Is that something that is going to work out in the long run, or is the consensus that the 3-judge panel will give a fair hearing?
You know, in many ways, what they're doing here on the workers' claim, and again, this was from Senator Murray out of New Orleans, had put this together this past session. This really takes the process for civil law cases to administrative agencies, and it looks like a consistent process. The idea of taking it to a panel or more appellate judges prior to reversal, what we find is whether you go from 3 to 5, I think you're not likely to see any kind of great discrepancy in results, but there may be a situation where having 5 guarantees you that you'll have, a verdict that is less likely to be overturned throughout the process. And again, this would only be for workers' compensation claims.
And amendment number 10, concerning the waivers of a jury trial, is this something that is going to help the court system? Or again, is this one of those things where it will actually slow the process down? But it's interesting because we're talking about the 45 days prior to the trial date as far as this waiver is concerned.
This is a very interesting one. This is from Representative Montese. Montese is down around the Kaplan area, south of Abbeville, and it's an interesting change. The thing that when I first looked at this, I thought, well, this is really something that could actually be done in a statute versus an amendment. But you look at it a little closer. Typically, when you go to trial, right now you can, up to the point of going into the courtroom, a defendant has the right to waive the jury and go strictly with a judge. This is for criminal cases only. Right, but with this, you would have to give a 45-day notice. The trouble with it is typically you don't find out the jury pool until 30 days before. And so one of the things I had argued on this is that there may be a 15-day window where the defendant doesn't have access to all information, and this could be a violation of due process. And so this is something that may get passed as an amendment but may get overturned in the courts.
So it should be interesting to see how these things occur at the ballot and what the results will be with some of these amendments. Dr. John Sutherland with the Political Science Department at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. John, thank you for your insight on these amendment issues.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You can hear this and other Lanyap podcasts by visiting the Listening Room online at kedm.org.